Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you are listening to the one, the only VFN Radio. Joining me to encourage you is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And also Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
How you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Very good, very good, very good. Give a shout out to all of our listeners out there. Your comments, your posts, your emails, your letters, your support in helping fill the virtual stadium is amazing. We're going to reach the nation for God. The hearts of the nation, the heart of the nation of America is going to turn back to God. Together, walk in this journey in the light of God's word. We want to welcome all of our new members of our virtual audience who is sitting in the virtual stadium of VFN Radio, the VFN TV program. Hello, Alicia, and welcome Judy and Wendy and Kip and Kelly and Carolyn and Terry and Todd and Tyler and Laureen and Renee and Noel. Hey, Noel! Jessica, Zach, Ernest, Frank, Randy, Nathan, Brandy. I know I'm not getting to all of you, but I just want to welcome you. We want to welcome you. Have a seat. Let's walk together in this conversation of enlightenment, of hope. Look in the truth. Square in the face, shining the light, the hopeful light of God's word upon it, being inspired by the creator of the universe who's empowered us to do something about it and activating you in this journey. You're listening to VFN Radio. Welcome, I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me on this journey with you is John Ramos. Here we are. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that we get to do this morning to encourage you. My goodness, so many things that we have to share we want to be able to talk about. We didn't get to finish all of our conversation, of course, yesterday. I don't know if you caught it. Make sure, don't forget, you can go to, we have an app that you can go to your app store, your mobile phone app store, and you can download it for free. We give it away for free. And you can listen live anytime, anywhere in the world. To VFN Radio and VFN TV, and you can go back and listen to that day's program, not live because it's live 24/7. You can go back and listen directly to that one particular first hour or extra. Maybe you got caught the first hour, but you didn't catch the extra hour. Well, you can go back and catch it. Or maybe, hey, there was something I wanted to catch. We have what's called highlights. You can actually go also to your app or even on your computers, but on your app that you carry with you. And just pick out the highlight that you wanted to listen to. Or you can go to the VFN Torch. We're carrying a torch to shine light of hope for you. That you'd be surprised what's available for you on the VFN Torch. It's all available. As a matter of fact, really soon, very soon, I think you can go now to iTunes and you can, go to iTunes and check out our podcast. And you can even download our podcast into your phones and computers and all that, because a lot of times you're at work and you don't have access to Wi-Fi or something of that nature. Well, just when you're at home, set your phone or your mobile device there or whatever and just let it just download automatically our podcast into your mobile device, and you carry it with you. I mean, everywhere you look, we want to make sure we're walking with you, because we don't want to leave you alone. We want to walk together with you under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for this end time awesome move of God that's about to take place on the face of the earth. We're called to be together. Well, my goodness, here we are. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's daylight savings time next Sunday.
Yes, it is.
So that means you need to set your clock back 1 hour. 1 hour next Sunday. So when you show up at your gatherings and your fellowships all around the world and all around America, make sure that you, you're going to show up an hour early, I guess, if you didn't set it back, right?
Right.
Oh, that's cool. You can help set up and everything.
Sure, the boss won't mind.
You can help set up, right? That's funny. That is really funny. Man, a tragedy. I don't know if you heard about this tragedy, but I got a message from Barbara in Texas that Jawanza out of Atlanta had messaged her to let her know that, you know, Pastor Creflo Dollar's church, inside his church yesterday, that there was a shooting One of his men was leading prayer. It's in College Park, Georgia, and I guess he leads it about every morning, for what I understand. And Greg McDowell, and he, as he's leading prayer, this man who used to be a former maintenance man, it appears, according to the articles that we're reading, allegedly, that he just walks in and shoots Greg in his head.
Oh, wow.
And turns around and walks out. And these guys know him because he's worked there. And so they start looking for him, and they find him sitting like in a Starbucks drinking coffee.
Mm.
The evilness of what's going on. As a matter of fact, listen to this report.
That a man was shot and killed inside the chapel at this World Changers Church International. A man, a worker at the church, leading a prayer, opening the prayer service today. And as the longtime member who talked to Karen indicated, there were a lot of people who go to that prayer service on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10. Different people lead the service. But as he was leading the prayer at the start of the service, a man walked up to him and shot and killed him. Shot him at point-blank range. We're getting indications from the longtime member that it was an employee of the church who shot another worker from the church. The longtime member of the church also said it's sad and scary because the witnesses, after seeing who shot the man leading the prayer, realized they knew the shooter. And now police are telling us that they are on the lookout for a 52-year-old man named Floyd Palmer. That's the name that police have given us at this point. 52-year-old Floyd Palmer. World Changers Church International is one of the larger churches. 25 to 30,000 members is what they claim. They'll get in a busy service. They'll have more than 8,000 people in you've noticed probably the copper-looking building. Those are some of the older buildings there. The daycare, the chapel. Massive parking lot, because they will get up to 8,000 or more people in a service at World Changers Church International. A man shot and killed in the chapel. Rebecca Lindstrom now, I believe. Rebecca, do you have a picture of the man police are looking for?
I do. This is a picture that I was able to take of the suspect's photo. It is on my phone. We have emailed it in so that you guys can hopefully get a better copy of it there. I apologize. I have very unsteady hands, but this should give you an idea of what this suspect looks like. He is 52-year-old Floyd Palmer. We are being told that he is a former member and employee of this church, and that the victim, whose name is not being released, was a volunteer here. So there could have been some relationship between these two based off of their relationship and time here at the church, but they are not giving us much more information than that. They are saying that they are looking for Mr. Palmer, Floyd Palmer, in a black Subaru. So there is no foot search right now. They are looking for his vehicle. Since they know his name, they know the potential vehicle that he left here.
But they actually caught, a Palmer. There's a news report talking about they're looking for him. They've caught him across town, like I said, at a Starbucks, just drinking coffee. This is just evil. We need to keep all of our brothers and sisters in our prayers to comfort them. Ask God to give Brother Creflo Dollar wisdom how to lead them through this difficult time.
Yeah,
we need to pray for the family of Greg's family there, Greg McDowell, who just lost their father and their husband.
Right,
and this is just tragic. This is totally tragic, and. And it's so vulnerable the way things are happening. We got to just be careful. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. We need to protect the sheep. All things happen. Listen, there's nothing you can't. Stuff happens.
Right.
But we at least need to know when it's in our midst.
That's right.
We need to make the shepherds need to know. And to be able to help prevent if we can, but if not that, comfort those that's going on. It's just a difficult time for them. We want to remember them in our prayers, and we want to. It makes me think of what happened at John Hagee's gathering, where all of a sudden you have this large group of people, and just activists begin to jump up and that are against Israel, which. says a lot, and begins to just kind of assault the people with their language and their it's you know, one of the things the Lord's shown me is that, you know, God wants His church back,
right,
and we as shepherds have to think about how can we walk this out as the church to make sure that we're not beyond our ability. You know, we're calling ourselves a shepherd. There's no way we can shepherd that many people.
Right.
You know, obviously what Brother Creflo is, he's an apostle, obviously.
Yeah.
He's over a lot of different churches, and the pastors in different churches and all. But, of course, the world doesn't see it that way. That's what he is, an apostle. Mm-hmm. And it's just this really hard time. We need to really think about this. And I just pray that, you know, God would give us wisdom, that we just wouldn't leave our doors wide open for anybody just to walk into anything they want to God's people. And we need to have the fortitude to tell someone, not only do you, if you walk away from God, you need to walk away from here, and we don't want to see you back.
Right.
Yeah,
and then have the strength to look at the flock in the face and say, and don't let him back.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep, sometimes you keep things so secret. It's like, well, we just don't want this to vibrate in the pews. What are you talking about? It's like, the sheep are in the pews. You know, it sounds like politicians when you say that kind of stuff. It's like, no, we need to be responsible for them. As a matter of fact, a lot of things happening right now in America that the leaders are not even letting the people know because they're concerned about how the people are going to react to it.
Mm. Right.
Because it's built off confidence, the economy is.
Oh, gosh.
And we got to be honest with, you know, and it helps out having a relationship with those that you're shepherding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you've walked together a while, you know that you're for them, and you're not trying to freak them out, but you got to tell them the truth. You got to say, listen, mm-hmm. you know, this guy was walking with us once, but he's given himself over to the adversary, and anything can happen. Open doors, empty houses. He can't tell you what he's going to do. I mean, that's just the way it works. They can't tell you what's going to take them over next.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to really think about that, because we've been living in such a blessed land for so long that you could do anything you wanted to, and you can get away with doing things you shouldn't do. But if you're over right now in Syria,
mm-hmm.
and you're being loose about being a shepherd, you're going to watch your sheep and possibly you, you know, life, the whole thing just end.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in China being loose and just, you know, whatever, let's just, whosoever, you know, come on in. Come on in. You long?
Mm.
Come on in here.
Yeah.
And you just don't even, and then just bringing all these people in on top of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And never saying, okay, you in. No, I don't know. You know, you need to cook a little bit longer before you come
That's
in.
Right.
Before you get in the soup here. You know what I'm saying?
I'll meet you at Starbucks.
Well, we'll meet you. Exactly. See? Never mind. We don't want to go there. And so, but it's evil. These are evil days.
Yeah.
You know, and coming from law enforcement, I mean, I've seen evil. And most Americans don't know evil.
Mm-hmm.
And even if your past generations knew evil, you don't know they're evil. You just know the evil they told you about. And there's evil. Mm-hmm. Satan is evil.
Mm-hmm.
I remember if you go, most stores have video cameras, and when you go to where there's a robbery that took place at a store or something, and somebody comes in, they just say, give me the money. And they take the money from the person and they go about their way. But there's some people that are just evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go in there and take a 50, 60-year-old lady who's just trying to earn a living at 10 o'clock at night behind the counter as a cashier, and just go in there and just literally take their foot and just kick her face in and break her and kick her and kick her and beat her and beat her and kick her and kick her. And then turn to take the money. The money was secondary, other than the evil that was on these men or these women.
Wow.
And we just don't know that. I mean, we see a video of a bus driver basically defending himself, and we freak out. You know,
right.
When the girl goes up there, lady goes up there and hits the bus driver, and he says, well, you about to go to hell now.
They say, you hit me like a man, you're going to get...
Yeah, you hit me like a man. And of course, he removed her off the bus with force.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was real bad. You got to see it. Maybe we'll make that available someday. And we're shocked by that.
Right.
Well, that's evil. It's evil. And there's a lot of evil that's been in America, a lot of evil things that happen. But there is evil. There's evil. There is decapitations. There's, you know, we're finding bodies in our states now and on the borders of Mexico with
decapitations, which just means the head's cut off, the arms are cut off, the legs are cut off, all the identifying marks are cut off. They're sheriffs are finding ice chests show up at their office with in Mexico with heads in it. Just all the heads of these particular people in there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I know this might be, you know, kind of shaking you this today, but understand this, that we've got to grab the reality that evil exists. You can't negotiate with evil. You can't partner with evil. You got to be able to call evil evil. And that's where, for example, if you look back at Ronald Reagan, he just stood up, President Reagan, he just called evil evil. Right. And when he called evil evil, everybody kind of knew where things were. And then they began to negotiate with him and change their evil ways. And that's when the Iron Curtain came down. But he was just set on it. They said, no, don't call that evil. Don't call, you know, an Iron Curtain. Don't call that an evil empire type thing. And he's like, no, this is what I'm going to call it. And because he called it that, then everybody could identify with that. And then the people who were evil had to deal with their evilness, and then they had to make a choice what they're going to do. But if you don't call evil evil, I mean, burying a lady up to her shoulders because she uncovered herself in Afghanistan and stoning her, covering her head and then stoning her head that's out of the ground, shooting a 13-year-old girl who wanted to go to school, calling her name out on a bus in Afghanistan, and the Taliban shooting her in the neck and shooting her because she wanted to go to school. Well, listen, America, we're about to experience some evil. We cannot live life loosely like we used to.
Yeah, and evil knows no age. I mean, here even in New Jersey, South Jersey, two boys murdered a young girl, threw her in the dumpster. And these are young teenage boys, and now they're sitting in jail.
And the thing is that the evil, you know, if you partner with evil, Satan will overtake you, and you'll do things that you thought you would never do, right. And it'll get in places you thought you never would get, and it'll take you places you don't want to go, and it'll leave you longer than you wanted to stay, and it could cost you eternity. Not only that, I remember right in Patterson where, you know, I think it was a particular fast food restaurant, more like maybe chicken or something like that.
Yeah, chicken Chinese.
And this young man, or you know, young adult man, was they were fixing to fight him, and you know, fight is a fight. But the men that were fighting him, along with the people that was fighting with him, so they imagine them punching with their fist and just typical fight. Then another man pulls out a machete and begins to hack at them. His own partner was getting his hand cut off. It was dangling there. Let me tell you something. I know this may be shocking to you, but understand, Satan is evil. We're right now, America's been trying to partner with Satan. Say, I want two of these, none of those, one of these, one of that. Listen, the end, the Holocaust was real. The ghettos for the Jews was real. The taking of their homes was real. The hatred of Christians and Jews is real. Satan hates the human race, period. But he hates God's people.
Right.
He hates them. He hates us. And it's not, you know, just if you get the grips with that, because a lot of people are like, I just want to be light. I want to be light. And it's like, and you end up being hated by God eventually instead of, because you get loved by Satan.
Right. You'd be led, all right.
Yeah, nothing will separate you from the love of God but you, you know, when you partner with the devil. And that, understand this, that what God has laid on my heart and several others' hearts is that tough times are coming to America. And because the land has been so blessed and is blessed, and I believe and I hope that a third great awakening is going to pour out and we're going to turn, but it's going to be some struggle in there somewhere for us to be able to learn. Some difficult times are coming. And because it's blessed, you know, I made this statement before, and you think about it, is that you can be stupid a long time in a blessed land. You really can. I mean, you look, you think, like, how are you living? How are you? I mean, how are you eating? How does this happen?
Exactly.
I mean, you haven't worked in 6 years, 10 years. You have children. You got a cell phone. You got. How does this work? What am I doing wrong? You know.
And then, you have an iPhone. Help me out.
So then you start questioning. Yeah, exactly. Then you start questioning. Well. Are they stupid or am I stupid? What's going on? And then you finally find out that when you live in a blessed land, you can be stupid a long time. But there comes to a point where the stupid cup is full. And you can't be stupid anymore. And what's going to be tragic is if we don't repent, if I'm walking around stupid, for example, and if I don't repent, it's going to be real tragic for me, because everything I'm floating on in this river, everything that I'm depending on to hold me up to this high place, everything that I'm depending on to feed my belly, I mean, all these stupid ways are going to crumble before me, and I'm not going to know what to do. I'm not going to have a grid for reality. And so then we're going to go to somebody else and say, hey, can you help me with my stupidness? And they're going to go, listen, I got my own stupidity to deal with right now.
They're going to say, listen, you need to get an app. Listen to this moment of wisdom. Listen to this for a month and get back with me.
Yeah. This is evil what happened at the World Changers gathering there in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it's just evil. But let me tell you something. I got a question for every one of us. What have we been doing with this Jesus? What have we been doing? Why have we allowed such evil to come to the land? Why are we sitting back and allowing an antichrist religion to just increase in its strength and before our very eyes? Antichrist spirit, antichrist religion. And if you haven't heard that yet, you need to go to VFN Torch or go to your highlights and just look at study Islam. Study it. It's anti. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus, to be anti-Jesus as the Son of God, anti-Christ is to be anti-Christ.
Right.
No matter how organized and how religious you are, and by the way, that they would agree with you that they're anti-Jesus. They would say he's a prophet, but they're anti-Christ, which means he's not the Son of God.
That's right.
And so this is not news to them. This is just probably news to you. Because they totally believe he's not the Son of God. And they're not surprised. They're not offended when you tell them that you don't think he's the Son of God. They look at you and go, right. You know, that's what they say.
Right. Yeah.
And that's Antichrist. That's Antichrist. And so we're just allowing this thing, according to Michelle Bachmann, allegedly, that the our government is being infiltrated with Islam. Islam's radical Islam at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're negotiating the blind sheikh's release and all these different things taking place. Homeland Security, we gave them basically our information, let them go through it all, the CARE organization and all the things that are happening. And understand, that spirit is the same spirit that was on this man that walked in to that fellowship and shot Greg. It's the same spirit. It's the same. There's only one. Listen, you wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Evil is evil. There is not different categories of evil. That was evil, what happened. But it's the same devil.
That's right.
It's the same devil. And here we are. We have people that are anti-Christ, anti-Jews, they're anti-Semitic, which means they hate Jews, and they're anti-Christ, which means they hate Christians, and they want to rid the world of us, or they definitely rid the world of the Jews. They would actually put us in servitude to convert us or rid us. It depends. Mm-hmm. But they were called the infidel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they refer to us as, the infidel. And we're allowing this evil spirit just to rise up. To rise up in our land and partnering with it.
Right.
We allowed it. You know, allegedly, it looks like that Ambassador Chris Stevens was sent to be engulfed by this evil spirit of radical Islam over in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks just like, remember when I prophesied, I said, to me, it looks like Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like David, Uriah, and Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And trying to fix something here. And it looks like things are unfolding, you know, allegedly, according to reports that we have been arming the Muslim Brotherhood and all the various affiliates of that. And Stevens was the negotiator. And not only was he an ambassador, it looks like more than likely, allegedly, that he was part of the CIA. And that's why the CIA was with him. And they were going to get the guns back. But this particular Turkish representative that came down, which Turkey's right above Syria where the wars is, was coming down. Supposedly, he just left the safe house. And instantly, that's when the battle came in.
Oh, wow.
And they're watching it with a drone. They're watching it within 2 hours. They're watching a 7 or 9 hour battle. They're watching it in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching Uriah die. They're watching, Ambassador Christopher die. and the officers that are with him. While the one they were negotiating with, the Stevensons was negotiating with arms to bring arms into Syria to arm Al-Qaeda and allegedly Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, that we're the ones giving them the guns.
Mm.
I mean, we're going to have to actually, what do you call that when you have to pull somebody out of a grave? What's that called when you go, you have to take somebody out of a grave? You know, you bury, but you have to raise them or whatever.
Resurrect them?
No. Well, yeah, that's true. That would be resurrection. But anyway, raise or whatever. That we may have to go remove Nixon from his grave and apologize and beg his forgiveness forever. The things that happened to him, just, it's so minor what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Church, we have to understand, it's not, we're talking to the church, we're not talking to the world, we're talking to the one that has gone astray, we're talking to the one that God's drawing to himself. Listen to me. J.J. J.J. And that means Jesus and the Jews. This whole thing is shifting, and as I talked about yesterday, I'm sure there's a related, you can, as you're listening to this and you're seeing Olivia Van Torch, you can see a related article to it, that it's not going to end well for us. We're going to be the 55-year-old lady behind the counter thinking that somebody wants the money in the cash register, but actually they're overtaken with evil, and they're going to come in and literally try to destroy us and destroy the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't catch yesterday, you got to catch it. The Secretary of State's husband, our Secretary of State's husband, allegedly has got his, which is former President Bill Clinton, he's got his former campaign manager helping the opposition party to the Prime Minister of Israel. We can't change Netanyahu, so we'll actually change the leadership of Israel.
Campaign aid.
Yeah, and you can see that on the Viffen Torch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And we're just reading that off the Blaze, I believe it is. But understand that this is not good for JJ.
No.
And as we saw what happened in Atlanta, this horrific evilness, understand we are not as important as we think we are.
That's
in
right.
The world's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just tolerating the church. They're frustrated with the church. They're frustrated with the Jews. You keep bringing God up, and you're to Israel, like you're blessed, and we don't like that, and we don't like your story over you. We don't like how God always protects you, and you Christians, all you do is try to protect Israel, and you don't want nothing to happen to Israel, and you keep sending money over to Israel, and you keep blessing Israel, and you keep forcing your government. You keep forcing your government, because we've taken over your leaders before, but you keep forcing your leaders, you Christian conservatives, to you hold their feet to the fire towards Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching an interview on DW where one of the Palestinian leaders was saying it really doesn't matter who's in office, because the conservative factions in America, they're the ones that keep America standing with Israel. Don't think because America's standing with Israel because of the government. They're standing with Israel because of you.
That's right.
Because you stood up and you prayed for Israel. Because you joined Christians United for Israel with John Hagee. And because you you went and walked the lands of Israel and prayed at the Western Wall. And because you partner with ministries that are there, and that you are blessing Israel. That's the reason why.
That's right.
That's why it's happening. And if we shut up, if we stay silent, if we stay silent, it's not going to be good for us. No. Israel will stand as a nation. And here we are at this one moment, we're just seeing evil. And there's so much evil happening. I know Steve was headed to Pittsburgh, and he was in a small town in Alabama somewhere. And the Lord just lays on the heart, you need to go pray for these particular people. He goes to go pray for them. And he says, it's something I can pray for you about. And he said, six people were just killed last night. Six were just killed. And there's so many things happening. You can't keep your, it's just, you know, used to be something tragic would happen, and then you got a chance to go through this emotional release and the whole linear circular cycle of remorse and, you know, healthy period of mourning.
My concern is that so many are asleep during this time. It's like you cannot play with the things of God when there's such great evil. And you've talked about your law enforcement days. And I mean, like you said, there's so many police filter out so much crime and so much evil that's happening while people are asleep, while they get up on the road that next day to go to work, not understanding, not knowing what just came off of the street out of their neighborhood.
Right.
You know, and 19% of the church is spending time with God. 19 is reading, is like
they're reading the Bible.
Yes. I mean, what's it's great evil. And it's like, what? We're not equipped. We're not spending time with the Lord. We're playing around. And it's like, wait a minute. We got to understand what is happening. The enemy is a serious foe. He'll eat your lunch.
And the only good is God. So if you don't, if you haven't went to VFN TV and watched Who You're Calling Good, you got to do that. You got to do that because, you'll understand you can't be good outside of God. God's going to empower you to be good. So if you're not spending time with him, if you're not abiding with him and reading his word and hanging out with like-minded believers, you're not going to, it's just his goodness is not going to come out of your life.
That's right.
And you can't do this on your own. You have to have God to be able to walk this. So I just want to encourage you, you know, pray for Greg Badal's family in Georgia. Pray for the church. Pray that God would give, you know, Brother Cruffalo wisdom to be able to come through this, and pray that the church there would just say, you know what? I'm not going to watch church anymore. I'm going to be the church.
That's right.
I'm going to be the church. If there's 30,000 of us, we can turn this nation around. If we will just leave, step outside of our CEO positions and, you know, downsize our limousine to a reasonable sized car. We move out of our 15-story house and just move into a reasonable sized house. We can go in this nation. I'll just go to a state and begin to be the church and begin to believe God. Listen, it's time. This is what I feel. I'm telling you what I feel in my spirit, and I can tell you that it starts like this with me, and some things the Lord has shown me is the reason why I'm saying this, is that God's name is going to be glorified. The church is going, we're going to go into the harvest field. And when you look at what happened in the beginning days of the church, if it was not Father filter, if God didn't allow it, then the leaders wouldn't have stayed there. When the church got persecuted, everybody began to run. And everywhere they went, they preached Jesus. They preached the kingdom of God. But the leadership, James and all, they stayed at Jerusalem. Well, they're not going to let the leaders stay there. They're going to run everybody off. And that was God allowing the sword to come against his people and the persecution to be able to scatter them. And what happened when they scattered? The church grew. The church grew. There's more inside of you than probably one of the greatest leaders in some of these third world nations in America. You've been preached to so much. It's time to start giving it out and pouring it out. Listen, we can go out by choice or we can go out by force. I say let's go out by choice. Let's go into the harvest field. Let's set aside all the excuses.
Right.
It makes me think about the wedding feast. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the wedding feast. Because where we are right now, you're being invited. But it doesn't mean you're right just because you are invited. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you. Yeah, there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org. And find out your heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God
like that? Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be. Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love the VFN radio program. They love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back into death. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, You have your VFN radio. You have Facebook. You have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel's coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John in the first hour. We're just talking about the tragedy that took place over in Georgia with the gathering of the World Changers gathering over there, World Changers Church, where a man walks into the, during prayer, why Greg
McDowell
is leading. A father and a husband is leading a prayer or morning prayer meeting and shoots him in the head, turns around and walks out. We're talking about evil. The only thing that defeats evil, and this I mean, man, so many people have taken hostage Dr. King's words, but if you go back and revisit him and who he was and what he said, he said the only way to defeat evil is through love and through goodness. And we got to, you know, you can't fight evil with you. It's not going to work. And it has to be a nonviolent type thing. But we can't do that in ourselves. We have to allow God to do it through us. I mean, obviously, it's God moving through us. And you think about it, we're talking about 30,000 believers in one place. Allegedly, that's what's being reported, 30,000. And imagine just going into the harvest field. I mean, divide that between 50 states, or divide that between 3,300 counties. I mean, you could, just that many people could just transform. I mean, you'd have to give things up. I mean, you'd have to change your lifestyle, but isn't it worth it for a lifestyle in heaven? Isn't it? I think about it. I was talking about Jesus begins to explain what reality is. He's trying to give us some comparisons, and he talks about it in Matthew 22. He says, listen, he says the kingdom of God is like this. So we're talking about, if we're in God's kingdom, this is what it's like. He says, there was a king, hint, Jesus. There was a king. Jesus is saying this now. This is not your local whoever, whatever. This is God's son saying, there was a king. And the king was preparing for a wedding banquet. And this is all about a bride. This is all about us being married to Jesus and the Father presenting us to his son as a bride. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a big banquet. And it's appointed once for everybody to be there. But we're going to find out we're all not going to stay there. Because he talks about this is going to be a wedding banquet. So this king prepares a wedding banquet, and he gets it all together. And he goes out and he begins to invite the people who was intended to be there. Hey, the wedding banquet's ready. Got everything going. You know, this is me right now telling you possibly, hey, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. You can come to this banquet. You can turn your life over to him right now. You can get saved, give your life to God, and begin to live for him. And Jesus says this. This is Jesus. So don't be all shocked and stuff. I mean, this is Jesus telling us what it's going to be like with some people. They refuse to go. I am not going to go to your church gathering. I am not going to go sit down in a coffee shop and talk about Jesus. I don't want anything to do with it. They refused. Was God's intention for them to be there? Yes. Did he prepare all that for them? Yes. Does that mean that you're going to make it there? No. You can refuse. And then Jesus said they refused. So then he comes back and he says, let's go send them out again and ask them again. That obviously, I'm going to give them what's on the menu. If I tell them all the good stuff that's on the menu, you know, that we killed the fatted calf and, you know, we have gold streets and forgiveness of sins and relationship with the Father. And he's going to tell them what's on the menu. If you tell them what's on the menu, you know, they just didn't hear clear enough. This is Jesus. We're talking right now. And so they say, they go out and they start telling them what he said to tell them. And you're thinking, oh, this is it. They're going to come now. Obviously, they're going to.
Right.
This is it, man. They're talking about the fatted calf. They're talking about gold streets. They're talking about all this wonderful stuff. So they're definitely going to be at the party, right? Well, this time now, the first time they refuse. The first time they refuse to even go. I mean, how many Americans have refused to go? I mean, we don't mind being religious, but if you're going to require me to go and do something. And this time, listen to this. This time, John, man, think about this. This time, they just didn't refuse, but they didn't even pay attention. They didn't even respond. No, that's just Greg talking about Jesus again. You know, didn't even respond. Didn't respond at all. That's major, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's so major. The fact that they didn't even respond, they didn't even pay any attention to the messengers. Think about it. And so one said this. He said, "You know, I've been working at this company 10 years now.
Right.
I've been working 10 years, and Jesus wants me to have a career." A career. And he understands that my 401J, 401K is there. And I mean, I've got to be able to afford my retirement where I can continue to do nothing for God and get paid for it. And he understands that and says they went back to their businesses. Not only did they not even pay attention to the people that are talking to them about this banquet, this is Jesus talking. This is the kingdom of God. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so they just refused.
Right.
And then this other crew, they said, you know, I'm not going to give up my house and my property and all that. I'm not going to give up my field. Do you know how long it took me to how many mortgage payments I've paid on this piece of property? And we got the wallpaper just right or whatever color just right on, you know, everything. Every piece of thing is just, Jesus gave me this field. I would not leave it. Right?
Right.
That's right.
I'm sure he's cool with that. He doesn't mind that I just turned my nose up and walked away from him, right? And so then, this is how the king responds. And so Jesus has given us a hint that this dispensation of grace will not last forever. This is like, okay, cool, all right. It's not going to last forever. It gives us time to repent. And he says this very specifically, the king was, and not only that, listen to this, not only did they refuse to listen to him, change their job or give up their job for God or leave their property, but then they actually mistreated them, ridiculed them, blogged on them, gossiped. And because you understand when somebody's doing something wrong, the way they deflect from that is to make other people look wrong. I have a good case study for this, but we're not going to talk about it. But understand that. And so then they even killed him. They killed him. Listen, he won't shut up. Go put Jeremiah in fetters. Just shut him up because he's telling us we need to leave our stuff. And this is what Jesus says. He says the king was enraged. He was enraged. Think about it. What is he saying? There's going to be a day that this loving Jesus, this loving King,
That's right.
He's going to be enraged, and he's going to be trampling down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That his garments will be covered with the blood of those who walked away and chose everything other than him. But you have to understand, we're choosing to be under the hoof of his horse. We're not. He's not telling us. He's saying, no, that's not what I want. No, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying, I choose to be trampled.
Mm.
I choose. He says the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Do we really think in America, if we keep walking away from God, do we really think that we serve a different Jesus?
Mm.
That he's not upset. I mean, he loves us, but you've never been angry until you loved, because there's nobody that can make you angrier than people that you love.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's a dangerous anger, right?
Somebody gonna get hurt.
and so understanding that all of a sudden, do you think we're not gonna suffer consequences as a nation if we keep on turning our backs away from God?
Yeah.
And saying, you know, we're just too busy. Don't you? I understand we're robbing you, God. I know we're interested. 97% of us are just not even giving to you what's yours.
How long is that going to last?
Yeah, and only 17-19% of us, you know, are even thinking about reading, you know, what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And most of that's like yada yada, everybody, because only 3% are reading in the context of wanting to apply it to their life. With 3% are saying, yes, I'll come to the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because there's a gospel being preached that says, hey, as long as you show up, everything's cool. Just, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you just show up, you know, that being invited means you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to his servant, he says, listen, I want you to go out there and I want you to find anybody and everybody. I mean, go in the streets and just tell them all, the good and the bad. Just get them all in here.
Mm-hmm.
Get them all in here, right? And what happens with that is that a lot of people have been convinced that because God loves them, because God invited them, then there's nothing required on their behalf.
Mm.
Nothing at all. And so they say, you know what? And then they justify where they are because of the grid. They do put a grid down and say, well, listen, he didn't even listen to Jesus. And he didn't even come. And she didn't do this. And I am here every single twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
Every single twice a month, I'm here.
Bi-weekly here.
That's right. I even teach whatever that class was called, they told me to teach. and so there's this feeling that, and people are giving people the impression, because you showed up, you're right.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, Jesus said, the king begins to walk through the banquet and he starts looking at this one particular person. He says, how did you get in here?
Right.
Of course, the explanation would be, I was walking around and they told me, whosoever will, come, whosoever will, come in here.
Just show up.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, and it's like they would have this conversation. But the king says, you're not even dressed. You're not even dressed. You are not even dressed the way you should be dressed.
Right.
You're not even wearing the wedding garments. Well, you don't even belong here. You don't even belong here that you, how did you get in here? And then this is what the guy says. The guy says this. He says, mm-hmm. he looks at the king,
mm-hmm.
he looks at the king, and he says nothing. He's speechless.
Mm.
He's speechless. Think about it. He's speechless. Right. Think about it.
Right.
You can't say nothing. Why is he speechless? Because he wasn't dressed. You know what? Nobody told you had to be dressed. And let me tell you what the dress is. The dress is what he tells us in Revelations 19, 6 and 8. He says that they are clothed with the righteous deeds of the saints. You have to do something. You're known by your fruit. You're known by your deeds, what you do. You're going to be naked if all you did was show up. You have to make him the Lord of your life. You have to be his disciple. You have to be fruitful, and you can only do that by abiding with him. Listen, he was naked and speechless because he didn't know God. He said, many people are going to come to me that day, Matthew 7. He says, Lord, Lord, did we not? You're not, your fruit is not your gift.
Mm.
He says, your dress, he says it very specifically in Revelations 19, 6 through 8, at the banquet, at the wedding banquet. He says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.
Mm.
Listen, don't listen to people who are telling you you don't have to walk this out, that you don't have to be fruitful, that you're not known by your deeds. Over and over again, look at Revelation over and over again as he's writing to the church over and over. You think about it. Revelations 2 to the church of Ephesus, I know your deeds. Revelations 2:19 to the church of Thyatira, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:1 to the church of Sardis, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:8 to the church of Philadelphia, I know your deeds. Think about it. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Think mm-hmm. about it. That faith and works go together. Faith and deeds go together.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, America, we've got to stand up and do what's right. And we can only do that through Jesus Christ. We cannot. It's not going to end well for us. Why? Let me tell you why. As we're closing, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. Jesus then says this. Take rope, tie his feet, tie his hands, and throw him into the fire where there's weeping, darkness, and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
For many have been invited, but few are chosen.
Mm.
It's so important to listen. You can't just sit there again and again and do nothing and expect and watch people be the church while you yourself literally just, you're a voyeur just watching righteous deeds of the saints while you yourself are naked at the wedding banquet and not realizing that he's going to begin to walk through the crowd and he's going to say, how did you get in here?
Mm.
If you say you were invited, you're absolutely right. But if you say that you became a disciple of Jesus, you'd be absolutely wrong because we're known by our fruit and our deeds. You show me faith without works and I'll show you.
That's right.
Faith by works. Listen. He calls it useless. He says it's useless faith. And let me tell you something, America. Our religion is useless outside of us getting involved in doing what our Lord and Savior, Jesus, commanded us to do. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.